I was getting prep done for Friday earlier.
Oh, nice. Yeah. I have to make a new character. That's right.
You do?
My character is dead. Well, it's not hard. Of course, the inspiration takes long.
That's right. That's right. You got to get in the headspace.
That's right. Got to get in the hut.
Yeah.
The wigwam.
Yeah.
A little smoke.
I'm not convinced I'm in love with the combat system. I might
go
a more traditional, just deal damage.
It's the differential, it's a little... Yeah.
Because I was thinking, like, you could lose all of your hit points or all of your sanity on the first roll. And that's...
Right.
It's maybe not that fun. Awesome. And then it's harder to... Yeah, so I think I might just do... Like, that's... Almost like a AC, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So tasks will still have the difficulty score, and then combat will be more traditional combat.
Okay. Yeah. I mean,
it makes more sense for like range stuff.
Yeah, it's not inappropriate though for just a gonzo one shot system to do that though.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's almost like, you know, you got me thinking now, round table style. Like you almost need like the hidden designer in me that's never come forth wants to have it where, like, you could choose to roll, like you could go for a bigger combat effect, but that puts you at risk for more damage somehow.
Sure.
But then how does that make sense for rage combat? I don't know.
Yeah, and that's. Yeah, because so I'm like, you know, in all of my copious free time these days, which isn't terribly much, but because I've just been like drawing dungeons and drawing little hex maps and stuff. And,
nice.
Let me put some adventures to it. And, you know, it's super easy to just, they're this difficulty score, but then when you're shooting like a ray gun at it.
Right. It, yeah. How does that damage come back? Yeah. There's something.
Yeah.
Something.
Yeah. So, I don't know. We'll kick it around.
Yeah. Maybe. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe instead of damage, what if when you're doing a ranged attack, it causes you, like, it's like a disadvantage, like if the difference is big enough, you trip and fall or something? I don't know.
Like a fumble kind of.
Yeah, like that. You know, like you're prone for a round or something if the difference is too big. I don't know.
Yeah,
I'm more than willing to experiment live on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
works for me.
It's kind of what we're doing. I think this will be still. I don't know. Actually, maybe I'll still take a look and tweak it.
Yeah, I'm sure I will have fun no matter what.
Mm-hmm. It'll be fun. I think we have McCarty joining.
Nice. I like Mike.
I haven't talked to him.
Yeah, well, have you listened to any of the alien stuff?
I started it, but I like listening when there's like a chunk to listen to.
Right, right.
I think we're good.
Listener.
Yeah.
Yeah. He really did. And we knew he had played RPGs and still is playing RPGs. He did a great job. Yeah, he seems like a decent guy.
I was gonna bow out of the Strahd game, and then getting jazzed for Greyhawk, and he just seems like a good GM. Just
I think he is. I mean, he is
the way he talks about. Yeah,
yeah. I think he will be.
Again, give it a shot.
Yeah, I understand the need to condo some of this shit, though. I'm still happy with... I mean, yeah, I don't know.
Like, if we, you know... I think you were just... I can't remember what thread it was in, but where you mentioned not running something because you're running so much other stuff.
Yeah, I did that. I said that today, I think. Or,
yeah, I can't remember what thread it was on. Yeah.
What word? Shit. No, it was on BGG on the Cabal. It was the Starcrawl.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Yep.
Yeah. Which, you know, I looked at that system and, we just played with the space combat, which was what kind of like intrigued me about it. But I was looking at the rest of it. And then we did White Rock a couple weeks ago. I'm like, oh, I just really like that system. I'm reading my Mega Dungeon stuff. And then the Starcrawl stuff. It's like, oh, that. And I'm reading the Crawling Under a Broken Moon stuff, which would just be great. Like, they have a He-Man class. It's just so gonzo. I don't know. It's pretty fun. Of course, I like all kinds of stuff, apparently, other than the One Ring.
Do you not like the One Ring?
That's part of the reason I dropped out of that. Like, I was trying
I didn't realize you did.
Yeah, I dropped out. And because I love the setting, I love Ty as a GM, but I'm like, so we had done this character, generation section, and I had kind of like, I tend to leave things for the last minute, and I kind of gone through it and had an automated tool, and I was just clicking stuff. Oh, this sounds good. This sounds good. But apparently, I don't know, it's very opaque to me. And I didn't make good choices. So, and then I was reading through the basic rules, and I just, the mechanics, you know, it's like these different die. It just didn't click.
Cool.
You know, it's like one is like a die, and then it's like a D12 and a D6, and you roll them together, and you add them up, and one has a special thing. And I'm like, what is the point? Yeah. Like, because, you know, I mean, people make fun of GURPS for being complicated, but it's 3D6 roll under. I mean,
there's a lot of stuff you can't. Yeah.
Yeah, you can add a bunch, and then it's all modifiers on top of that, which can get really complicated, but, you know, it's 3D6 roll under. Mm-hmm. I can't describe the One Ring like that. There's no, and the way the, like, they have cool things. Like, I understand kind of what they're going for. Kind of like Blades in the Dark. You know, like the grouping thing, like you have a cluster of skills and then you have kind of like an overall, which I like the idea of a cluster of skills, but it was just, I just bounced off it. And I was like, and I, you know, it's stressful. This, everybody's going through stress. And I was just like, I just
couldn't. Yeah. when your hobbies are stressing you out, that's not cool.
Right. Yeah. So, but yeah, so I'm still happy with that decision. I really, really love the setting, but I'll get some Middle Earth with Dave. So
yeah, we'll get our GURPS in,
and that'll be GURPS. Dave's messaging me on Rocket about he's finding all these rules in Dungeon Fantasy. Did you know? I'm like, no, I didn't know that. It's like, well, shit, we played that wrong. So it's good.
And not that I'm trying to rush through this, but when we're done with this, then that opens up Ogre.
Yeah. Yes, it does. I've been working on it.
I can tell. I read the splash.
Yep, there's more coming. I'm excited for that. I've got Rat Patrol downloaded.
Nice.
I've been looking at GEV GURPS stats. I think we're not going to do a full GURPS vehicle combat though. That's kind of over the top. And they've never really done GURPS vehicles for 4th edition anyway. So
I think that's fair.
Yeah, and I don't think we would get anything out of it. I mean, I would get something out of it in that, like, I could say I've done it, and like I would have fun like preparing it, but it would take forever.
And we joked about it, but if we need a finale, we can just play Ogre and GEV.
No, absolutely. Like, you guys will be running a GEV on an Ogre map in combat. Why not fucking use that system, man? It's perfect.
So good.
Yeah, it's. Yeah, custom, I mean, built. It'll tell a great story. The rules are,
it's easy. It just gets out of the way. Yep.
Yeah.
I couldn't find my dongle.
Sounds like, excuse me, sir. You have my dongle?
Mind if I butt in? Although I joined at the proper moment where I heard GEV, yes, Ogre open map using the game system, and there's this music. I don't know. I'm actually lying down on the floor right now. I don't think I can
just
stand.
Basking.
Pretty good stuff. Pretty good stuff.
How are you guys?
So I'm doing well. How are you, Pete?
Good. Good. Good to be here.
Good. I was really looking forward to this, so I am glad to be here as well. What's everybody drinking?
Negroni.
Very nice.
Oh, really? A Monday Negroni. Nice.
Just one.
Yeah. It's coronavirus.
We keep it
loose. I've earned it.
Here we keep it loose. I have a Triceratops double IPA.
Mm. Very nice. I think I've heard you drinking that one before.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. It's a favorite.
Yep. And I am not infusing tonight. I'm on the Irish whiskey with a lime twist.
Nice.
So.
Oh, which kind?
Is that proper 12 that I bought from the pretty lady?
She's pretty lady! Is there a story here? I haven't heard this story about.
It must have been another RPG, but I just said, like, it's you go in the liquor store and there's the woman there with the samples, and you know, and she's attractive, and you try the samples, and it's actually, and I'm drinking it now, and it's still not bad.
That must be an Oregon thing. We don't have sample people in my liquor store. No, no.
It's not all the time, but it happens.
You're lucky that people here have teeth.
Very nice. So, yes, Pete, we were talking about, of course, we were talking about GURPS, GEV/Ogre, and that, like, when we wrap this up, and my thoughts for this are, and by the way, if you hear Craig, like, I can't hear when Craig leaves, so just please.
Oh, yeah, will do.
Keep an eye on him for me, please. We'll wrap this up, and that'll be the next thing that I'm already starting to work on it because I'm excited. So we'll do we'll do a world and character brainstorm session. I think Sammer may be the tough one because, you know, he goes through his training shit and all that. So I don't know. We'll work somehow. Or, you know, we could even do that one. That one could be drop-in stuff where, like, I could do up to four. Because I was looking at the specs for GEV. So a normal GEV is driver gunner. A light GEV is one. So combo. So if there's three of you, either you have like the gunner seat open in one of them. I don't know. Or we have an NPC. I don't know what we do. Or, you know, it's like there's like a motor pool and you guys go out on missions and it's whoever's there.
So. I like it.
And, you know, you can be buddy teams. Like, you and Pete could be driver gunner on M1 GV or something.
I'll be your goose.
Yeah. There you go. I don't know. We'll work it all out. But, you know, I might. Dave says he's not interested in that one. So maybe we'll, you know, if people want to drop in. I kind of like the drop-in model, too.
Yeah.
And, you know, having it be, like, missions and stuff makes it easier to do that. So
that's a great idea, doing
still
a drop-in
like
that way.
Still tell, like, an overarching story, but.
Right.
Drop
right.
in, drop out missions.
Yeah, just like TV.
Right. Monster of the Week.
Exactly. So my plans for this are, well, we'll see how it goes tonight. Tentatively, I think we definitely got one more session for you guys, depending on where it ends up. One more session for you, and then four-person finale.
Mm, cool.
Awesome. Oh, yeah.
So tonight and one more, is that what you're saying? Or tonight?
That's what I'm thinking.
Finale.
That's what I'm thinking. I never am usually able to execute those things, but we'll see. I'm like, as I've done more and more GMing, like the players have to figure shit out stuff. You know, like, you don't want to give it to people, but also, like, I think players don't mind if you give them some shit. So
no, yeah. Follow Delta Green. We were floundering for about 5 episodes, I think.
Yeah, yeah, that can get frustrating, and I don't want you to flounder. So,
and it wasn't frustrating, but we kept talking. Oh, you know, it's coming to an end. It's coming to an end. We don't know what we're doing. I felt like, is it just me? Am I that obtuse? And yeah, we just all had no idea.
Yeah,
is it me?
Well, I had to. I mean, the only thing I've done similar to that is the Call of Cthulhu stuff, and. Yeah, I mean, at least 80% of the time for most of those sessions, I'm like, I have no fucking idea what's going on. It's just like, just point me at somebody you want me to beat on.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's good stuff. I mean, it did make, you know, it is nice when you figure shit out, but it is hard sometimes. And sometimes, you know, like, it's always here's another good roundtable topic for somebody, write this down. Like, I think when the GM, like, it's always like when you know the answer, it's easy. So the GM is like, well, why didn't they think of that? Because it's easy. Right. But no, they didn't know. It's hard. All right. You guys ready?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. It's lovely to see this lodge once again. It's been haunting my dreams for the past few weeks. Just the shutter as it pops up on the screen. God damn it.
I re-listened. And here's the downside of doing simultaneous sessions is I had to re-listen to you guys and Backdoor and Matt just to make sure I'm consistent-ish. But, you know, it's good. But I did listen to you guys, and yeah, like your reaction when I showed you Constance the first time. Fucking awesome.
That was creepy.
Good stuff. Yeah. Well, that's the goal. So I have listened, so I can recap unless one of you guys wants to recap.
I'm okay with you recapping.
Me too.
Okay. And, cause you know, we, these sessions, like they go, we chat and all this kind of stuff, but you know, thematically, not a lot happens. But anyway, I think at the start of the session, you were talking to Constance in the park. I think that's where that one started off. Yes, that's right. So in the first session, you guys had gone to the park at night and kind of run into Constance and were scared shitless. But in the second session, you found out, oh, you know, she's not really that scary, even though she looks super creepy and she needs some help. And Bobby, I think especially, was very like, this is, you know, you found out some bad stuff was going on in the town. She had shown you a symbol, which you recognized from the Masonic Lodge, and said that, you know, these were the people behind her murder 64 years ago. And, or 10000 years ago. And so you'd gone home, slept above Chris's garage, and packed up the next morning and headed out to the Masonic Lodge to check it out. The Masonic Lodge was out on the bay across the causeway. You crept through some creepy woods, found the very creepy rundown Masonic Lodge, had crept up to a window, heard chanting. And yeah, see, the summary is going to take no time at all. And then the chanting stopped and you heard the door open. You were on the side of the building. You heard the front door open, tried to run. Chris was running like the wind, and Bobby tripped and was caught on the ground. And that's where we left it, I think.
Yeah.
Did I miss anything?
I don't think so.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. I mean, so, yeah, I mean, it's funny. I don't know. It just seems like plot wise, not a lot happens. And yet we take all this time, but you know, there's descriptions and shit like that. So yeah, it's all.
There's plenty of flavor and good times.
Yeah. We did spend a lot of time with Constance also. So you guys were finding out about Constance, finding out she lived in the machine, all that kind of crap. So. And then we talked about the rules. She's your powered character, a la Stranger Things 11. So. All right. So. Let's pick up exactly where we left off.
In DRS.
So I'm thinking, like, Chris, you probably ran this way, back to the back, right? So the footsteps were coming from the front, and you guys were underneath one of these windows listening. Can you guys see me pinging?
Yeah, I see the pinging.
Yeah, so that's where the footsteps are coming from, and I'm guessing, Chris, you went this way. Away in the opposite direction.
Yeah, I remember heading towards some woods or a tree line or something. Or
yeah, there's
or
trees like all that. Around. So yeah. I'm going to say you turn back, and Bobby has. I think I'm pretty sure at the end you can correct me, Jason. But Bobby had told Chris to go, right?
Yeah, I was motioning him to run, but we didn't land on him. Petey was what?
what he had actually done. Yeah, I wanted him to think about it. So Chris, Bobby's motioning you to go. You've gotten to the edge here. Nobody's come around the corner. But you have a feeling it's going to be very soon. So, what do you do?
I didn't bring my gas can in Zippo, did I?
I am going to allow a lot of things, but probably not.
Okay, just checking. Because, you know, certain thoughts are entering Chris's mind at this point, the fight or flight mechanism and the fight mechanism.
I mean, we did have a whole session where we talked about what you were putting in your backpack. And, like, I'm willing to, like, add things retroactively, but a can of gas, that seems like...
Oh, that was just my... That was my...
I know you.
Scream in the dark.
Yeah,
let's see. Yeah, because I had my keys in my wallet because he's a latchkey kind of kid, and he's got his Monty Python scripts, Volume 1. So
that's correct.
Neither one of those are really going.
I like how you stall too. Think this through. Although you've had weeks and weeks to think about it, so.
It's true. And you know, I have had this time to ruminate on it, and I have no answer. I have not walked in tonight with like, here's what Chris is going to do. So,
there is no right answer, right? I don't even know what the right answer is. I have no idea what you're going to do, but whatever you do, we're going to tell a story. So,
yeah. So I'm building what I'm feeling, and Chris's fight mechanism is going off like alarm bells, but he realizes he's got nothing in the, you know, nothing offensive on his person. Yeah, that he can do anything. About. There's a lodge full of adults that are hauling away his friends, so he's going to hit that tree line, and he's going to come up with a plan, and he may be ready to burn that place down. We're not sure yet.
All right, so Chris is going to go. Bobby, any... what does Bobby do? Anything?
Knowing that, you know, I've kind of stumbled and can't make a run for it, I think I'm going to kind of like curl up against the building and just try to get small.
Okay. All right. Well, around the corner.
Wishing I had my elven cloak with me.
Nice pull. Around the corner, a man appears.
I don't like him at all.
He's, you recognize him, actually. Remember, there was a pickup truck in the parking lot. Randall F. Spencer. I added the F.
Spencer Charters.
Nobody's gotten it yet, but we'll see.
Wait a minute.
Did you get it?
Wait a minute. That's the guy from The Stand, ain't it?
Randall Flagg. Yep.
Randall Flagg. That was it. I was trying to remember the last name. Yep.
Thank you, Petey. That was good. Yeah. I felt the Stand. Yes. And he comes up. You're not watching this, of course, Bobby, because you're curled up in a ball, but you feel him looming over you, and you hear this low chuckle, and he goes, some fresh gristle for the mill. And you feel him kind of grab the back of your neck, and he lifts you in the air like you're a piece of paper.
Mm-hmm.
And he kind of shakes you until your feet hit the ground, and then marches you over to the front door.
Is he holding me the whole time? Or is
he's kind of got his one hand around the back of your neck. And he's not lifting you off the ground anymore. So you can't really see him anymore.
Yeah, he's behind me.
You feel like you feel his breath. And it has a weird smell. You can't quite place it.
What I would like to do as he's walking me, I don't know if I have enough time, but I'd kind of like, if I can shimmy my backpack down a little bit, like toward my elbows.
Okay.
I wouldn't mind reaching in for my Crescent wrench and trying to, I want to fight is what I'm trying to do. So what I'm picturing is, you know, I kind of, and if he's paying attention, that might not work, but I'm going to see if I can get my hand in my backpack.
All right. I'm going to say, since he's restrained, what is your brawn? Pretty good at
brawn. Brawn's a D12, yeah.
All right. Give me a brawn roll. Just to kind of see if you can get loose enough to... Oof, nice.
Cool. And that should be
a 11, listeners, yeah.
That should
okay,
be a plus.
Yeah, you... whether he noticed you or not, you can't tell because he's behind you. But you're able to get your backpack down and get your hand on your crescent wrench. So he's marched you around to the front.
And now I want to fight.
Door's open. Now you're going to... So what's that look like?
What I want to do is... So I have my right arm on my crescent wrench. And I'm going to pull it out and swing. And I'm not trying to hit like him in the face. I'm trying to hit his wrist. So just so he'll let go of me.
Okay. So in combat, we do opposed rolls. And you're going to do fight.
Yep.
And I think he's going to do brawn. And I'm going to roll it secretly.
Yeah, and I have a plus one.
Yep. For being a teenager.
11. All
right.
Not great. 11.
That's not bad.
All right.
And let me look at the margin table. So in this case, he would be the defender because you're attacking him. The blow, and so Randall is going to have narrative control. You swing at his wrist, and almost effortlessly, he kind of lifts it out of the way of the crescent wrench, and he looks at you and kind of cocks his head and says, "Don't do that, little boy." But doesn't do anything else. So what are you going to do now?
So you said he took his hand off my neck.
Yeah.
Well, fuck it. I mean, if he's not holding me, I'm going to try to run. Yeah.
Okay. Give me a flight roll.
Six.
Almost before you're able to take a step.
oh, wow. Not a good preface.
Needed to explode it. I knew where that was.
His foot kind of comes out like kung fu style and is in front of the foot that you're using to push off with, and you go flying into the dirt. And now you feel his weight on your back and you feel his breath, and it's sulfurous.
Yeah.
Like,
Bobby, fuck this guy.
Bobby, what are you doing, Bobby?
Fuck you, Randy.
Fuck me.
Have a stepdaughter to molest. Fuck, get out of me. Here.
And he, once again, he picks you up, and you feel him like, he picks you up like, once again, like you weigh nothing, and then you go flying against the door. I got to read about damage in this thing. I guess let's do it. Let's see. You get to resist. He's going to do a fight roll. Okay. And so what would you resist that with?
I'm guessing brawn.
Yeah, give me a brawn roll. I'm
trying to tough it out. Let's see if this adds it for me. Yep. 10.
All right. Actually, he's... you're able to avoid him throwing against the door. How was that happen?
So he grabs me to throw me, and I yell at him, "Let go of me, you fucking chomo!" And like slam myself down with all my weight to kind of get out of his grip, and then I'm gonna try to scramble away.
Okay, give me another flight roll.
God damn it!
Explode! Time to explode!
Come on, baby. 4.
Oof. Not gonna do it. Once again, he trips you, and you're down on the ground. And he's like, this time you can feel your arms being wrenched behind you.
Yeah.
And
going back to our scapular talk from last time.
Yes. Yeah. the pain. And he's kind of taken. You hear him rip a piece of cloth off the robe he's wearing, and you feel it wrapping around your hands. He's like, Bobby. And this time you're thrown up, and he throws you inside the door, and you go sprawling down into the hall. So the door opens up. I made a crappy map. I don't know if it's super appropriate. Let me look at it. Sure, it works. Let me put you on there. And I call the layer bad maps. So I moved the door from the center, but you guys see that?
Oh, I see. Yep.
Yeah. Yep. So it's kind of a long hallway. You know, you don't know that where the stairs up on your left, but you know, there's a door to your left, and then there's a long hallway. And then let me reveal down the hall. Those circles down there are like flickering torches, and you see a couple of figures in robes. You know, you've kind of fallen on your front, and you see a couple of figures in robes down where the torches are, and they're not looking at you. They're just kind of rocking back and forth. So what you gonna do, Bobby? And let's pause here for a second. Yeah. Chris, what's going on with you?
Chris is freaking the hell out.
Yeah. So what Chris is seeing, right, is like, well, you know, which way did you go? Can you see any of this happening?
I'm going to just say, yeah, that he has been.
Maybe
doing...
you ran to the woods on this side and you kind of saw.
Yeah. And he's doing his best to keep an eye on what's going on. And yeah. He's freaking out at the one. This guy looks creepy as hell. He's in robes and he's this big dude and he's absolutely manhandling Bobby, who is, you know, no sack of potatoes, right? So
right.
Chris is thrown off big time.
I want to emphasize, like, Chris can see this guy. I mean, it seems inhuman how easily he lifts Chris up, right? And Chris would notice watching from a distance as well.
Yeah. Chris's mind is racing and he's thinking like, oh, I'll go in the parking lot and maybe there's a car with keys in it and I'm going to ram the car into the building and he's just all improbable rescue scenarios. So he,
tell me something, Chris.
Yeah.
What kind of digital watch do you have?
He has a Casio calculator watch.
Excellent. And what does the alarm sound like? You hear that.
And Chris looks down at his watch and goes, Constance?
And you see the text scroll across. Get away, get away, get away.
Why? Bobby's in there. I gotta help him.
Bobby, you've gotta get Bobby out. It's the beast.
What?
That's the beast.
Oh, shit.
And I'll tell you what.
Okay.
Constance is going to use one of her tokens. And this is going to be under GM control. And she's going to appear. She's going to manifest. Let's see, character sheet. Oop, she's down to 3. Yikes. Did we go over how this works?
I don't recall.
You want to use one of Constance's powers. She starts with like 7 power tokens, and I'm using the adversity tokens for her just to track them. I think you should be able to see her sheet. So in order to use one of her powers, you spend one, and then you can spend them as to get bonuses to the roll. And then she rolls a 2d4 to see whether her power succeeds, and I set a difficulty. So I'm going to set a difficulty of 3 for her to manifest, and so she's fine. So Constance will kind of appear, you know, Princess Leia hologram style before you. And she'll go, Chris, I can get us a way out of here. But you've got to distract him. We've got to get closer to Bobby. I can make a portal.
Okay, so I'm just going to run right in there and you're going to zap us away?
I can make a way out, but you have to, and she's kind of like tied your watch essentially. Right? So but you have to get me. We have to get Bobby. We have to get closer to Bobby.
Okay. I'm going to run. Do we have to be in the same room? Can I be outside next to him? And do I have to be in the house or what?
You have to be next to him.
Okay. I'll make that happen.
Okay. So what's Chris going to do?
I'm scrambling. I'm going to,
So Bobby, you do like when you were kind of thrown in the hall, there's a, you were kind of thrown against one of the sides of the wall. There's a, like a low bookshelf there and a bunch of old leather bound books and a book falls out. It's kind of a digest sized book with a picture of a, what looks like a big snake on it in leather. So that's sitting on the ground where you are and Randall Flagg. Randall Spencer. Randall Spencer has kind of turned to you, but now he's apparently distracted by some movement out in the woods.
I want any evidence of weird shit. This guy has me freaked out, so I'm going to grab that book and I'll slip it into my backpack. I'm not even going to look at it.
And so I
notice that he's not looking at me. Does he look? Because he's still standing outside of the door, or has he walked away?
Yeah. No. He's. Where I gotta make myself a pointer again. So he's standing here. Mm-hmm. Icons. I guess I could put an icon, but anyway, standing here. You're kind of here, mm-hmm. You know, and there are windows along here, but they're all covered with black curtains, and he's looking in this direction.
Okay. If I'm that close, I might, because I know it's a two-story. I'm gonna kind of creep up this way, kind of look around the corner because we hear chanting, right?
Yeah, it's kind of stopped now. The guys in the robes, the torches are still flickering. You're able to creep up there, and you see another row of torches, another two or three men or people in robes, you know, their faces are shrouded and they're just kind of rocking back and forth. They appear to be kind of in a stupor. There's a door here right along there. This is a table with kind of more candles on it. And then I gotta click again. Sorry. This is a table and this is like a fireplace.
I'm thinking to myself, this looks like some D&D shit. You're gonna have to make an adventure out of this.
Mm-hmm.
They're probably looking away from me, but do I recognize anybody?
They're in robes.
Yeah. If they're not noticing me, I'm gonna try to creep into this door.
Okay.
I'm trying to get away from Randall.
All right, let's so you get into this room here, and there's even more kind of books and paraphernalia in there, but it's like a storeroom. So I'm gonna leave you there, and then we're gonna go back to Chris. So Randall's turned and looking at you, and he seems to be looking right at Constance, and he's like, "You," and he starts walking toward you with the steps that seem like, you know, he's not moving fast, and yet all of a sudden he's very close to where you are. What are you doing, Chris?
I'm going to bust ass right for that front door so I can get close to Bobby.
All right, give me a flight roll.
Okay, let me check and see which... Now, I filled out my sheet a little wonky, meaning that I went left to right. So my speed roll or flight roll is going to be the D10. So goes charm, grit, flight. So D10.
All right. And I'll roll in the open for him. Huh? Oh, very nice. So marking success is a 5. Let's just look at the success table. Because this technically isn't combat. Margin of success is 5. You succeed quite impressively. So you can try and narrate an additional benefit if you want to sammer this shit. It's encouraged, in fact. So how do you get by this fun guy to get to the door?
I start going straight for him, and then I hit him with my best Nerf football curl route, hook and curl, and then I roll and bust a move right
past
him.
Is it a spin? Is it a 360 spin?
It's a full-on spin, and he's fast. And
his hand scissor in the air where you were.
Scooby-Doo move, right? Exactly. This guy's fast, but he's not very agile. So that's the one thing Chris has going for him. So Chris gets a good step and busts ass straight for that door and goes inside, shuts the door, and if there's any kind of lock or anything, he tries to do that, but he's in and he's scoping it out.
Okay. All right. There's actually a deadbolt.
Yeah, he throws that.
Okay. All right. Constance is like, that won't hold him. We've got to hurry. Where's Bobby? She's looking around.
And I go in and I see the guys chanting and such and books on the floor. Is that right?
Yeah. So, like, there's I got to get to the clicker thing again. There's kind of a mess along this hallway. You see guys, they're not actually chanting anymore. They're kind of just like rocking back and forth. So it's kind of weirdly quiet. There you go. Thanks for the bookshelf. Yeah. That's what you see. The flames are flickering. It's, you know, smoky and kind of weirdly smelling. And you guys are right here, and you hear boom, and the door crashes, and you hear this. What's your last name, Chris?
Hanky.
Chris Hanky. You've been a bad boy. Boom. The door rattles again.
Chris boogies on down that hall. And just start screaming, Bobby, goddammit.
All right. And Bobby.
Chris is losing his shit at this point.
Do you do anything in that room for like the 30 seconds before you hear Chris shouting?
I'm just going to look around. You said it's like a storage room.
Yeah. There's like candelabra. There's no books because those are.
It doesn't
out.
Look like there's windows in here, right?
No, it's an internal room. And I can reveal. Like when you kind of came around, there's another hallway that kind of goes down beside that.
Sure.
But this just looks like, and you know, there's some kind of weird bowls and stuff and all kinds of weird, like, you know, like if you were in like the back of the church thing behind the altar, this is the kind of shit that you might.
I got it. Yep. So hearing Chris come in, I'm going to open the door. And whisper, you know, loud whisper, Chris, in here.
Yeah, duck mass right in there.
Okay.
I say, Sweet C's got a way out for us. Stand near me.
And you hear the front door crash open, and you hear Randall coming down the hall. And Constance, you see Constance kind of close her eyes. Who controls her technomancy?
I think I do. I don't have the cards, but I think that's what we said.
Okay. You can draw the cards.
Or no. Pete got it, right? Chris had the fear.
You guys
of the
can
dark.
Draw. There's the deck of cards right there. You can say choose card, I think, right? If you click on the deck.
I can't.
Weird. All right. Maybe I can get it out. Anyway. I just listened. I can't remember. Whoever wants to have it can have it. You're going to be responsible for the role.
All right, Bobby, you take it. You take the technomancy.
My roles have been so good.
I'm just pretty much assuming. So really, it's your choice. So Constance is now under your control. She has the, and it's not really technomancy. It's kind of, maybe it's another power. So we'll give it to Bobby. It's this ability to open portals. So I'm assuming you want to have her do that, right?
Yes.
So we would check off. So she's down to 2 power tokens left. She doesn't want to get to 0, by the way.
Can we recharge them?
By resting. You know, it's kind of a spell rest thing.
What have the other two been up to that?
Yeah, well, you know, shit happens.
Yeah, apparently. Goodness.
All right, and I will say it's this is a pretty easy thing for her to do, so the difficulty is only a 3.
What am I rolling?
A 2d4. Oh, Jesus.
Eked it out.
Just made it.
I mean, a 3 on 2d4 is not... That's like 50-50.
It's the second worst you can do. Yeah. Anyway, so, you know, it kind of flickers. In fact, you're so marginal success. I'm going to give Randall one more shot. The door to the room bursts open. Oh, Jesus.
Because they've been talking.
Yeah. Why don't you each... Okay, so Constance isn't really, you know, she's not physically manifesting there. She's doing the Princess Leia R2-D2 thing. And but you see this kind of this black maw open up in the side of the... in one of the walls of the room. So,
of the room we're in?
Yeah, yeah. She kind of... You kind of see her kind of concentrating and this hole in the wall kind of opens up, and she says, go through. And so
I'm gonna look at Chris. Is she serious?
Looks Chris inviting. Run. He's totally he's freaking out, but Randall's got him.
Both
totally
of you give
out.
Me a flight. Yeah, because now the door bursts open. Both of you give me a flight roll, and you're gonna have to roll like the wind. And you guys should all have at like, remember to take your adversity token. So, Bobby, you got one when you failed that flight roll.
And
you got probably 2 more in the combat.
And we can, I was
you
trying to look at
it. Spend those for a +1. And you can spend them after, so you can roll first.
Okay.
Yeah, I got a couple of those as well. All right. So, I'm a D10.
So, give me that flight footage. Okay, it's not bad.
Oh, that's a 6.
Fuck.
Oh, Bobby, so slow.
Can I? I'm so bad at this. It's because my shoes don't have any tread.
I'm telling you. Yeah. I'm gonna say if
can
you
I,
have
can
4.
I, spend, I was gonna yeah, say, can I spend multiples? I have 5.
Yeah. Yeah. If you spend, if you get up to 6, you will get away.
Okay.
Spend them all.
I'll spend them all.
Okay, so you guys, it sounded like Chris went first into this thing. Is that what happened?
Yeah,
how does this happen? And so narrate this for me. I mean, I'll narrate what happens when you go in, but like the jumping in part.
And I can kind of see it. So maybe Pete, if you don't mind,
go for it.
Chris kind of bursts in, and Constance opens this portal, and Chris is already kind of in motion, and he's definitely sure on his feet. So he just kind of powers through, and Bobby's been in this kind of dusky room, surrounded by weird stuff. His backpack's a little bit heavier, so he's a little off balance, and he kind of like almost like a Scooby-Doo, like feet moving, but he's not getting anywhere. kind of motion.
I can hear the
yeah.
Whatever that sound is.
You know, not that cartoony, but you know, when you're trying to get going and you just can't get any grip on the floor, and you're just, and then he kind of ass over tea kettle through the portal.
Okay.
Like a gangly up and coming right, freshman, yeah. Right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yep. And you guys, I mean, you know, it can't be any worse than where you were. but you the sensation through the portal is like digital static, and your stomach becomes nauseous, and you come tumbling out onto a glowing video game like landscape.
Chris, we're in Tron.
dude, I suck at
keep
this
an eye
game.
Out for tanks.
I suck at this game.
And you're kind of looking around in
are maybe, we digital too or
you still appear like yourselves. You don't have a glowing suit or, but you're definitely lit by this but
yeah, oh all right. God,
no, I'm doing the wrong thing here. Sorry.
User!
and you turn and you hear, Bobby, Chris, you made it. And you look and you see...
I like it.
A girl. Not haunted at all. Much like older it. Than five.
Constance? That's voice me. Cracks.
Welcome to the Darknet. this is where I live. I can bring people here. You can't stay for too long.
Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm. And she kind of shakes her head. I'm a little tired. Wow,
that's fucked up.
Yeah, that's the man. That's the man. That's the thing. He's the one. He's the Leviathan.
Spencer?
Yes. Or I don't know. He's a part of it or something. He was there. He was the one that killed my father.
Can he come here? Or is this your hiding? Yes. Okay.
No, He rules here. We need to keep to the shadows.
It is dark.
Who else is here? I mean, he rules here? He has a kingdom here? Or?
Yes, he is. He is. The Shadow Hunters are here. And maybe you see one. Quick, hide.
Scramble down into the crack.
It's everything I wanted it to be.
Yes. Yes. I had no idea.
One hide.
So good.
She's like, yeah, I found this place, you know, after I was killed, I drifted for, and time didn't, it was weird. And then there was this place. Of course, they were already here. And in this place, they're even worse than in the real world. I don't know what this place is, but I can come out. I can, you know, when you people started getting your computers and TVs, and I can come through those. And she kind of says, come this way. We have to get you to another exit. You don't want to stay in here too long. And let me zoom in there.
Wait, Constance, they didn't have computers when you were growing up during the Civil War, did they?
Well, no, I never heard of those things. But I think that was when I drifted, and then all of a sudden this place appeared, and I could live here. So whenever that came, I found this place and I could hide here.
Are there other innocent people like you here? Or?
Not that I've ever found. There might be.
Oh, that's so lonely.
We need to get you out of here.
It is, but this is the place. Like, it's hard for me to talk to you in the world that I came from. But it's good to talk to people. I do try and talk to people. I've been getting stronger because it's coming again. I can feel the thing that Randall Spencer is he's looking for another sacrifice. And
if we stop it, will you be safe here?
I think if you stop it, I think I get to move on. Which is,
well, we want you to be safe. Is that what you want?
That is what I want. It's so lonely.
We want you to be safe. We really want you to be safe and with your family and friends. And I mean, we're your friends, but you know what I mean.
I think that's what I want. We need to stop it. And then his power will wane. And I think I can get out. I can let go. I can go. I can move on and end this loneliness.
We'll do everything we can to help.
Bobby, if only you could see the look I'm giving you right now. Just sad, saddest face that Chris Hanke's ever shown you.
Yeah. gotta help. We gotta help, Chris.
Nice. So there's a mailbox here.
You've got mail.
Yeah, I mean, fuck it. This day has been much weirder than I could have ever anticipated. I'll stick my hand in a digital. I don't know the word digital, but I'll stick my hand in a digital. I do know the word digital. Digital mailbox.
Okay. Inside is a piece of paper. And you pull it out, and it's a map. And it has... And it looks like this. There's three paths.
Oh, geez.
And Constance comes over and looks over your shoulder. She's like, I gotta change to the clicker. This is where he lives.
We
shouldn't go that way.
We're not ready for that.
And she's like, this way, it's easy to get lost and it takes a long time, but it's safe. And this way, you'll have to fight.
I'm not that good at the game, but I'm a decent fighter.
I suck at this game, but that's looking like the only option we have.
How much time do we have if it takes a long time?
Well, I don't know.
It is much safer.
Yeah, I think if we go that way, time in here is strange. Time in here is very strange. It may be too late if we go that way. That's what I worry about. It may not be, but it may take too long. The ceremony, the ritual has to be done by tomorrow.
If we go together, can we fight together?
Yes.
Look at Chris.
Let's give it a shot.
Let's go suck up some fools.
Zach and Lisa were here. Zach and Lisa fought.
Did
they
win?
She kind of tilts her head, and she's like, Zach did something that helped. I can't remember what it was. Something with a tree.
Zach Lewis?
Yeah, Zach.
You know Zach?
Yes. Zach is my friend. Zach and Lisa. They're helping me too. You would like them.
Lisa? Lisa?
Yes. Even though, and she kind of crinkles her nose a little bit. Yes, I know. She was her grandmother, and she's like, was one of them. But Lisa seems okay.
Oh my God, her grandmother?
Her grandmother watched me die.
That's fucked up.
Like watched like television, like, watched, she was like,
no, she was there. She was wearing a robe and she watched. Oh. Did nothing.
Oh, that fucking bitch. Family. That fucking family. I'm telling you.
Well, there wasn't the pools. The pools are the ones that brought them here. The pools are the ones.
They're worse.
The ones that I really hate. Oh, I remember. And Constant goes, root access. And a menu pops up in front of her.
Something with a tree. Well played.
Nice.
Missed it. And there's a glowing screen with green text and black background appears. And she's like, I think, and there's a list, you know, like one, it says map. He's like, yeah, we have the map. Two, it's like physical enhancements. Three, return or exit menu.
Two, please.
Okay. Yeah. So you can go over and you can, there's kind of a keypad and you hit two, Bobby hits two, and there's a list and it says paladin, fighter. Well, I want to get this right. Matt came up with these. Matt Allen. Paladin, fighter, cleric.
So good.
And thief.
Oh, no barbarian.
Let's add barbarian. Let's add barbarian. I think it's appropriate.
Yeah. So without hesitation, Bobby chooses barbarian.
Okay, so in best 8-bit style, describe what happens to Bobby when he makes that choice.
Yeah, it's you know, horned helmet, shirtless, buff with the leather belts kind of crossing the chest. pants with kind of fur-lined boots and nice. A great big battle axe.
Perfect.
Okay. Ah! Choo, choo, choo. And is he pixelated like 8-bit style?
Yeah, the his face, like his actual body appears normal, but like all the accoutrements and stuff and like the horns and stuff are all 8-bit pixels.
Dude, you're ripped.
I'm gonna show him my battle axe. Check this shit out.
Watch out. Chris takes a step back. Chris ponders his choices and goes, well, I am kind of the helper, so cleric makes sense, but something's telling me to go thief.
Ooh.
And he presses the button for thief.
Yeah, I gave them shit about that too. Click. I think Backdoor was saying click. It's like, hey, Junior, there's no clicking.
Yeah, I caught myself.
All right. So what happens to Chris when he picks thief?
Well, immediately atop his head is a bright tricorn hat with a optic yellow plume coming out of the top. And he has a sort of jerkin on with more green and touches of brown to indicate some leather. There's a bandolier of daggers going across his chest. There's a bow across his back. And he has these really deep black slippers on his feet that feel really good.
Nice. He can wiggle his toes and everything.
Yeah.
All right. And Constance comes up to the menu and says, oh, I've been playing with this too. Watch this. And she hits 3 and 2 at the same time. And then a new menu appears. And it's like, and on that menu, she picks option number 3, Disc Warrior.
Wait a minute, that wasn't an option.
Look, it makes me a grown-up, too.
Cheat codes.
Cheat codes, exactly.
Up, up, down, down.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right, so you guys are geared up. Are you ready to go?
I think so.
All right. You said you were going to head off in the direction of B. Is that right? The center path?
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. You walk for a while on these... what was that? Battle zone? Was that this map? That was like a battle zone map, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it alternates between the full... You know, you guys are kind of the EGA palette of colors, and you know, then there's this you know, it kind of it's a weird amalgam of all these things, like patchy sections where it's battle zone-esque and other sections where it's Zelda-like, bright glowing green. But you come upon you come into an open area with more of the kind of just the Tron-like grid. There are sitting two bikes. And Constance was like, Zach and Lisa really liked this part.
Huh. Chris is a little intimidated.
Yeah.
You know, I got a 10 speed and the second derailleur's broken. So I'm kind of in fourth gear all the time. It's a little beyond.
Constance was like, it's all right. Can one of you drive? And she hops on one of the bikes. One of you can ride with me. And in the distance, you see two red bikes approaching.
Chris Hopley quickly hops on the back of Constance's bike.
What does Bobby do?
Yeah, I guess I'll get another one.
Okay.
You got this, Bobby. You had that mini bike.
That's right. You gotta lean into it.
So you crack the frame, doing jumps that one time.
I'm out of my element.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So you start these bikes up, and maybe so Constance's bike rockets off toward the other two red bikes. And Bobby, what are you doing?
I'm going to kind of get a feel for the controls. Mm-hmm. And then I'll kind of take off straight.
Give me a brains roll. I knew this is probably what you're second worst at.
It is.
Oh, was somebody playing something? Nice.
That's gorgeous.
Oh, that's your old flight roll, yeah. Oh, Jesus.
Two. I don't have any stuff to spend.
That's, ooh, yeah. That music was.
Oh, right, you get one now. You had one left over. You had one left over, so you should be at two, but don't spend them. You're gonna struggle. You're gonna struggle, and you're not really gonna get this thing going. And so Constance kind of sees the trouble you're in, and she goes flashing off and crying. Cross in front of the bikes coming, and they kind of both focus on her. So we're gonna
fight. How far back is Bobby from me right now then?
Oh, you know, maybe 50
how many grids?
Meters. Yeah, okay. 50 grids, 50 Daves.
All right. So
50 Tron Daves.
I'm gonna go with the flow here and figure that at some point Constance has made the hard 90-degree turn to the right to cut off these other guys. And at that point, Chris recognizing the video game, even though he sucked at playing it, times it such that he hops off just at that moment when the angular momentum is going from one direction to the other, and hops off and hopefully doesn't go flying too far and starts running towards Bobby.
Okay. All right. And I'm going to say, yeah, Constance makes that sharp right turn. Let's see. We haven't set all her stats. Her flight roll is a D20. And her charm roll is a D4. I'm going to set her fight roll to a D12. What do you think?
That works.
What do I got? We've got D12, D10. Brains would be up there. But anyway, all right, we'll start. Maybe we'll do D10 for brains. So she's gonna try and basically divide these two guys and buy you guys some time. So I'm going to say that's maybe a brains roll. So we're going to give it a brains. And we'll see what she gets. Did it go? Wow, it's delayed. Oh, she does nice. Nine. All right. Okay. And then these guys are going to kind of come in, and two of them, and they're both going to, let's say the first guy is going to try and get around and fail so miserably. I guess she's the defender in this case. Yeah. So, in fact, I'm going to say, like, he kind of was like completely surprised by this turn, and then he sees, Chris kind of flying through the air, and he kind of turns, and then all of a sudden Constance flips the direction again, and he's going to have to make another roll to avoid crashing, and he does. But he's kind of off in the distance. The other guy is a little more careful. Oops. But nonetheless, he's so careful that he's down. So you guys have, you know, these guys are both kind of slowed down. And in fact, Constance is going to come back bearing down on the other guy and throw a disc at him. You guys don't even have to be here. Oh. And it's gonna...
Get a beer.
We're playing Golden Axe and she's playing Tron.
Yeah. Yeah, it's all mixed. It's all mixed metaphors. Yeah, her disc throw is kind of bounces off the ground and digs into the ground and is kind of stuck there for the moment, actually. So she spins her bike around and heads off and then grabs the disc out of the ground. But the fight's now kind of a couple hundred Daves away from you guys. So Bobby and Chris, what are you guys doing now?
Seeing Chris come at me, I'm going to jump off the bike. So you see if you can figure it out. I'm at a loss. And I'll hop on the back.
Okay, give me
maybe brains between roll. My brain. Yeah, maybe between my brain and yours, we'll have one. Let's try it.
Same doesn't have pegs.
Is this a brain roll for Chris?
For Chris, yes.
Okay, it's a D8 for him.
Okay. Oh, it explodes!
Explosion. What do we get for the second one? It's taking its time rolling.
Sometimes
it has a 14. Ooh, look at that
14. So, Bobby, you are one with this bike. What does that look like?
Bobby or me?
Chris.
Chris, sorry. Chris. Gosh. I get them backwards sometimes.
Wow, it's almost he gets into the saddle of the bike and it's ergonomically formed to his body. And he immediately figures out that there's a accelerator just as you would think on a regular motorcycle, albeit that there's no clutch. It's just a paddle shifter. So you just use your left foot up and down on a lever just like a regular motorcycle, like a YZ80 perhaps. But you don't have to push in the clutch or anything, and you just, and all you have to do is think and lean just a skosh. Yeah, think and just lean just a skosh, and it goes where you want.
Okay.
And so, I said,
what was that?
It says, get on, brother.
Get on. What do you do, Bobby?
I had to hold on tight.
Okay. And, nice. All right, hold on. I got another one for you.
Oh, shit. There we go.
Is he going to start?
That's the real shit. I got it.
Yep. All right. Yeah, the bike goes screaming off. And actually, Bobby, you realize that there's a lever on the back that when you hit it, drops the wall behind the bike, right? It's, you can turn it on and off.
Sure.
So, and Chris, you're on that bike and it's like an extension of your body. This, that you've never felt so alive. Like, you know, you are flying. Okay.
And Bobby, still, so, Bobby called the shots. Bobby called the shots. I got this.
I'll be your navigator.
You be my eyes. I'll be your legs. I'll be your legs.
Okay. All right. So Constance is kind of locked in this stalemate because with two of them, she can't really get enough of a advantage on them. You know, she's got her disc back. I love this music. So what are you gonna do?
I'll from the back tell Chris, we need to help Constance. Let's go.
And I put the hammer down. Bing! And I almost get carpal wrist tunnels or whatever, you know what I'm saying? When I pulled back that thing so hard.
I'll even let you do a wheelie if you
want. Nice.
I want little 8-bit sparks kicking off the back.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. All right. So you're coming in, and so what do you do? You see Constance kind of circling around, and these guys are both tailing her. And,
yeah, and I think we're coming in noticed you guys no yet. Wall.
Okay, coming in no wall?
Yep.
What's the plan?
I think we need to get close enough with her that we can communicate, and then just cut these guys off.
Okay.
The 22 of us.
All right. Why don't you, let's see, do this mechanistically. I think, why don't, Chris, you give me, what's your best stat?
It is his charm.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. And grit is his number two.
Okay. Grit seems appropriate, right? So you're gonna send this bike in there. You're not laying down a wall. You're going right in amongst these guys until you can kind of make contact with Constance. So you give me a grit roll and Bobby give me a fight roll.
All right, here we go. D12 for mine.
Nice. 11 on Bobby's roll.
So Chris taps down that paddle into the highest gear it's got.
No. Okay. And then these guys, let's see. They're going to try and avoid you. There's two of them. Yeah, and it's pretty much a wash, right? Scling! Sparks fly, but now it's 2-on-2. And maybe like one guy peels off with Constance and one guy peels off against you. So now it's 2 1-on-1 fights. So you guys are, let's say you're zooming along. You're kind of racing next to this other red bike. Mono y mono. Parallel. What you going to do?
I'm going to throw the wall down. Okay. So that we're doing that behind us. And I'll tell Bobby, as soon as we can get a little bit ahead, let's cut right. Whichever direction the other bike is.
To your right. Sure. Yeah. That works.
So let's cut right. And I'm going to throw my axe at him.
Perfect.
Oh, word.
give me a fight roll, Bobby.
4. That's what the plus 1.
Wow. All right. Well, he rolled a 1. So you get narrative control, but he's only going to be grazed.
Okay. So I think we just nudge him out a little bit. Chris breaks right. We're laying down that thick Tron wall. He cuts in time, of course. And I whip my axe at him, and it puts him. I think what it happens is it puts him like a grid square away from us. Like he has to swerve out of the way from my axe.
Right.
So we're not right next to each other. So maybe we have a little bit of room to breathe.
Okay. But now you don't have your axe anymore.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. So, Chris, what are you going to, you're driving
I'll tell
now.
Chris, I threw my axe at him and I kind of missed.
Yeah. Chris says, don't be afraid to get personal. I got daggers on my bandolero. You just reach in and do what you need to do.
Reach out and touch somebody.
All right. So, Chris, what's your next move as the controller of this thing? So he's kind of a grid square away, and he's coming at you aggressively, and his wall is coming, and his wall is being laid down.
Okay, so we're neck and neck, and he's just off to our right, one grid square away, correct?
Sure. Yeah. You're not right next to each other. There's a gap between you, but you're high speed, same direction. Feel free to you can narrate in changes in the elevation or anything like that too if you want to use them.
Oh, I was thinking of whether we had a plane to work with here, just like the
video. Well, I mean that's it, but if there it's kind of an open thing, but there are it's not completely uniform. Maybe I'm just giving you ideas of things that you might want to be able to use.
Like, oh, okay, yeah, I was kind of constricted to the video game. Mm-hmm. All right. Okay. So Chris is going to look for some kind of undulating terrain where he might be able to take a hard 90 degree, hit a jump across the wall that's being laid down.
Oh yeah. And you definitely see there's like ramps in this arena too, as you look.
Oh, it's Car Wars. Thank you.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Know your GM. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so he's looking for a ramp, an opportunity to jump up and over at a 90 degree angle on the across the other guy's trail wall, and then hit a. Well, let's just see what happens after that. That's the first thing he's going to do.
Okay. How do you think he what aspect is he using to do it? I'm willing to go with grit if you want to use.
Yeah,
grit
I think he's in grit mode here, where he's really teeth clenched and feeling the power of this bike and getting control of it in the situation. So we'll hit a grit roll.
All right, give it to me. I'm thinking this is just going to be a static.
Ooh, that's 12. Here comes another one.
Loads.
And
okay,
a
14 again.
But that's fine.
Yeah. Still.
We'll take
14
that.
Is great.
We'll take a 14.
Actually, so let me let's treat it as a combat move. He's gonna try and avoid. Oh, Jesus!
Oh,
okay,
nice, nice.
Whoa, that's a one.
So, yeah. So the difference is more than 10, which basically means he is toast. So, narrate this, Chris. How this jump. And how you trick this guy into basically emoliating himself or whatever happens to him.
All right. So I think this guy is smelling a greenhorn out on the grid. And Chris is definitely playing into that and gives the bike a little wobble intentionally to make it like, whoa, whoa, whoa. And then all of a sudden careens off. And intentionally hits that jump, goes skying up, and Chris is going towards some sort of feature or terrain treacherously close. Mm-hmm. And the guy is looking up over his shoulder like, he's about to eat it in spectacular fashion. And then Chris regains control of the bike, just misses the obstacle, lands down, hits a 90 degree to the left as this guy is just watching in amazement. And then he plows into a big old digital rock.
Oh, nice. Very nice. And pixelated bits of motorbike and faceless dude splatter all over the landscape. very nicely done. All right.
Great job, buddy.
And I'm really feeling it, buddy.
If you had made that description as one of your attacks, like you were trying to fake him out, I would have let you roll charm too. Just FYI, you're trying to fake him out. I was wondering if you were going to go that way. All right, and then off in the distance, Constance circling around the other guy. Let's see how she's doing. Oh.
She exploded.
She exploded. 20.
That's 20, ladies and gentlemen. Nice.
Oh, he exploded too.
Oh, goodness gracious.
12. Whew. Still, that's the end of this other fucking guy. So as you guys kind of, as Bobby's slapping Chris on the back and saying, good job, buddy, good job. You kind of, the bike, you know, you kind of, Chris spins the bike and kind of skids a little bit and puts his foot down, you know, super cool style. And you turn and you look and you see Constance with her pixelated tight butt. It's now a 22-year-old in leather-ish pixels. Slam on her brakes, turn left, turn right, and the guy behind her is just completely flummoxed. He makes an impressive move to try and jump over the wall, but he just clips it, and his bike goes tumbling through the air and crashes into a cliff on the side of the arena and turns into pixels.
Derezzed.
Very nice. And as the guys that you're battling against disappear, a light appears at the other side of the arena from where you entered, and kind of a flashy neon exit sign appears, flickering. And Constance is like, "Come on, let's go! Come on, Bobby! Come on, Chris!"
Chris hits the paddle down, cranks that accelerator, and makes beeline straight for it.
Okay. All right. So you, as you go through that portal, you feel a weird sensation, and you see the pixelated you see the kind of pixelated dust appear before you, and you feel yourself crashing into the floor. Right in front of the TV over Chris's garage, in front of the Timex Sinclair. There's kind of a burst of static on the TV, and you see Constance's face. But then you're back in Chris's garage.
Back in the garage.
Yep.
That game still sucks.
Oh, man. I'd rather play light discs than light cycles. That's brutal.
Yeah. I thought about having you guys play light discs, but I like the cycle. So you're going
to
have
to. The cycle is good. It's just impossible to play.
Yeah. It's a tough game. The only winning move is not.
That's right. My buddy has that arcade machine in his living room.
Does he?
Oh, really? No shit.
Yeah. And I'm still no good at it. Play free.
Yeah.
Does it have cigarette burns?
No, it's fully restored.
Wow. Nice.
Yeah, it's pristine. It's beautiful.
I figured part of the restoration process would be cigarette
adding cigarette burns. I was going to say, it's like, yeah. I'm going to get a little more whiskey, and how about we take like a 2-minute break and come back?
Sounds good.
Sounds good.
right. So what's new with you, Pete?
You know, one day blurring into another, but glad to be healthy, glad to be working, glad to be with my family. Everybody's here. I know that's not the case for everybody. So yeah, it's been all right, you know, just getting outside where we can. The weather's been decent.
Right.
Went out for a nice long bike ride with Junior over the weekend and did some hills and busted his ass. It was good.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we've been managing, and you know, God bless this guild. God bless the friends I have here that we all have together through this guild, who we've gotten to know together so well over the years. I mean, we joke around, oh, we've been preparing this for years. You know, I don't know where I'd be without these points of contact, nights like tonight.
I know,
hanging out on Rocket, it's a grounding mechanism, man. It really is.
Absolutely. Yeah, I can, you know, I think about, like, well, even like some of the people, at least they've still got jobs, but some, like, you know, some of the people I work with live by themselves, and I was like, you know, I mean, or I guess, you know, you can also live in a bad situation where, you know, you don't get along with the people you live with. But yeah, so yeah, it could be a lot worse. That's for sure.
Yeah, we are fortunate. My thoughts go out to the folks who are out there on their own. You know, my wife and I go out for long walks, and you know, we walk by apartment complexes, right, and you look in there. It's like, I know there's a 26-year-old in there and you know, 475 square feet just fucking locked up in there. Like, my God, you know, that's
by themselves. Yeah. That's,
yeah.
My
heart goes out to those people. You know?
That's what I'm saying. Absolutely.
Yeah. There's one friend of mine on my hockey team. We're all on the WhatsApp thing together. And, you know, make a point of checking in with her on the WhatsApp, you know, collectively as part of the team. Cause you know, she's in there with her dog, and like early on, she shared a video of her playing tic-tac-toe with their dog. She was like, okay, you know, okay. So which one do you want? You know, the dog would like actually pat on the pad of papers. Like, I don't know if that's the best move. You know, so there was like this 4.5-minute long video of her playing tic-tac-toe with her dog. They're like, all right, so next up, 2 weeks, we want you to have your dog playing the game of life with you. We want to see the dog having a family of four, doctor's salary. I mean, just Jesus, you know, sitting there at home with, you know, just you and your pop. It, you know, so just make a point of reaching out to folks like that. It's like, hey, we're here.
Yeah. Yep. And thank God for the internet for everyone, right? Just providing some sense of connectivity, hopefully. I mean, I'm guessing not everybody has it, but still.
Yeah.
Most people do.
Yeah.
If you don't have the internet, you probably live way out in the country and you were already socially isolated.
Yeah, there was an article I saw about rural Texas and some communities out there mobilizing very quickly to get people who aren't connected.
And, oh, that's great.
And the community is going to pay for it. And, you know, it's like, hey, $30 a year, everybody's going to get internet. You know, you wonder if eventually, you know, one of the things that comes out of this is that there's some effort to recognize, really, the internet, it's running fucking water, people.
Right.
We are at that point now.
Yep. It's a necessity. Yeah.
Any semblance of it being any kind of luxury just need to go away now.
Right.
And this whole net neutrality thing needs to come right fucking back, because nobody should be throttling your speeds right now. There's no reason for it except for fucking money.
Right.
So,
yep. I agree.
Hey guys, let's storm the Bastille. I'm feeling ready.
Hell yeah.
That's right. I'm right there with you, baby.
Oh, wreck shit.
How are you doing? How's it been out there for you guys? Because I know it's like everybody's community is different. We've been in lockdown here in Seattle for, I don't know, it feels like eight 7-8 weeks. I've lost track, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I've been at home. So my son's birthday was March 17th, and that was a Tuesday. I stayed home from work the previous Friday, and have not, other than to go pick up groceries, I have not left the house since then. So, 40 days. 40 days in the wilderness.
Wow.
You guys going for walks or anything? Or?
Oh, yeah. I mean, okay. Walks count. And okay. The nice thing, I have many advantages. I have the guild that, you were talking about, Pete. And my parents live half a mile away, thank God, because I think they would go insane. And I've put this on the Rocket. I don't know if you might not be in the rant channel, Pete, but my brother is a cluster. And so he's been the main trouble. So he's staying with my parents. He's been homeless before, and he got on meth in the last couple of years. And
oh, shit.
Of course, my mom says, "Oh, but he got clean." I'm like, "Yeah, bullshit," because he will stay there for 4 or 5 days and leave. Mm. I'm like, "Yeah, I bet he's going to get drugs."
Yeah.
And they tell him you can't leave, right? My dad's 79, my mom's 78. He has COPD, for fuck's sake.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. Jesus.
Yeah.
It's like, don't leave. And he's going to, because he was homeless for a while. So he goes to the homeless camps. That's probably where all his contacts are and shit. So I'm like, so finally, and my mom has and I understand it's a classic mother guilt about how she failed her son, but he's 43.
Right.
So I'm like, at what point, mother, does he become responsible for his own shit? Because he has lied to you, and you've given him ultimatums, I kid you not, 50 times over many, many years, right? And she's always, so she finally, Saturday morning, she kicked him out. And at the same time, my dad was in the hospital he had an infection started in his elbow, and it started going down his arm, and then it turned and went up. So he went to urgent care a couple times, and then finally he was 2 nights overnight in the hospital on IV antibiotics, and they were trying to figure out how to drain it. So Friday night and Saturday night, my dad was in the hospital, and my brother had been out, and he came back Saturday morning, and she basically got all this stuff, gave it to him, and said, "You're out. I told you not to leave again," and of course it tore her up. And then my brother is threatening her and how this family sucks. And then, and he knows my wife is also a sympathetic person. So my dad and I, we've written him off, right? He doesn't even talk to us because he knows that he's stolen from both of us. Right. Mm-hmm. And, he's done for my dad and I, but my mom and my wife, they're very forgiving people, and he plays on that. And so he's texting with my wife on Saturday night. In fact, I was playing a role-playing game, and my wife comes in and he's threatening me over text. And so we called our neighbor who's a cop, and and so we had a little discussion with that guy, and and then he's threatening suicide, and he's just trying to get a response. I mean, none of them are credible threats, right? So you can't really do anything. Anyway, so that's my fun. So we haven't heard from him.
To worry about.
Yeah, we haven't heard from him since Saturday night. I think he called and ranted at my mom on Sunday morning. But my dad's back home. They weren't able to drain it, but the IV antibiotics, the doctors think it looks better. My parents were like, okay. But he's still not 100%, but he doesn't have a fever, and it's hopefully getting better. He's on a cocktail of antibiotics that he'll be on for a couple weeks. So.
How's he feeling? Is he in pain, or
he had lost his appetite and had a fever before he went in the hospital, which was kind of what prompted them to go to the ER. But he's got his appetite back, and he's got more energy. Not a lot of energy, but more energy. So it's good signs. So hopeful. And they did release him from the hospital, so it's a plus.
That's got to be such a tough decision about
going to the hospital.
To admit yourself at.
Well, yeah, I don't know that my dad really thinks that this is a real threat, because he's a Fox News guy. So we just I have to put that on my mind. So.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe your dad and my in-laws can hang out.
Yeah. I mean, he was going out every day. I mean, maybe he was respecting social distancing when he went out, but he would like go out every day. Like, oh, I got to go shopping. I'm like, okay, whatever. It's like, we'll get whatever you need. It's like, okay, whatever, Dad. But yeah, so they did say that, I mean, the hospital, like, you know, they're taking reasonable precautions. I don't think it was too, like, Oregon's really never been too bad. And so he was in, like, the hospital's empty. And they had him in a section, like, there were a couple people on his entire floor, and that was it. It's like a 9-floor building. He was on the 9th floor.
Wow.
You know, they've basically emptied it out. So, I think it's probably not too big a risk. So, and they let my mom come visit him like once a day. So he could have one visitor once a day, you know, and she'd get scanned and stuff when she came in. Of course, everyone's wearing masks and gloves. And so, you know, I don't know, but yeah, I don't need that stress. No. I don't need my wife, like, you know, she can't sleep because she feels, you know, and my mom's all torn up. I feel guilty for my brother. I'm like, it's like,
nope. Nope. Yeah.
I am totally with you. You're with me. We're on the same page, but you know, like, you can tell somebody that, but if they're not wired that way. Yeah. And so I just feel, so I know my mom's that way. And I'm like, I don't blame her for it. That's just the way she is.
Yeah.
And I tell her, like, yeah, we're trying to convince her just to kick him out. Because he did it like 3 times where he left and came back. And every time she would like, no. And I'm like, you know, he knows you're not going to do it. It's like, you just got to put.
Got to do it.
Like, ah. But she knew it would destroy it. And it's tough on her. And then, you know, and he rants and raves. And he plays it. And he's good. He can set my parents against each other. He is a master manipulator. So he's a piece of work. Anyway, but that felt good to get off my chest. I appreciate this.
Of course.
Therapy session.
Yeah, those things are the family stuff. We have three, like my little brother, and he's better now. He's finally got a stable job.
Mm.
But yeah, he's 33, mm-hmm. and just for the last year has finally, you know, for more than a year, had the same job.
Oh, nice.
And he's over the road trucking, so he doesn't have to worry about a place to stay, you know, like his bills or his internet and phone, and so right. it's helping. But my wife's sister, stepsister, and brother have both been in places where, and we try to help because we're in a good position, but with my brother, it was like every week he was asking for money, and he would pay it back, and but finally he asked for like $500 or something one time.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, okay, I will give you this money, or I will lend you this money. But yeah. Then that's it. Like, you're going to come over. We're going to write a budget. We're going to talk about your finances. You're going to have to own this because right. I can't, you know, and we didn't have we have different dads, and he ended up living with his dad for a little while. A little while for the second half of his childhood, and it just, and his dad was just the biggest piece of shit in the world. But my mom was at her wit's end, and so, like, you know, neither of us had any decent parenting, really. Like, my grandparents did okay by me, but it was on his own, and you know, and so my wife and I tried to help him, and we helped him get on his feet, and he ended up living with my mom and my sister for a little while, and. And so, but it has to get to that point, right? Like with my wife's sister, like with my brother, we would lend him money. With her sister, we were giving her money, saying, you're going to pay us back. And we, you know, thousands of dollars over years, we never saw a penny back.
Yeah.
And so finally, you know, it was, hey, you know, I need, you know, my car's going to get repoed and yada, yada, yada. I'm like, okay. And I told my wife, okay, this is the last time because we're not going to see a penny of this back.
Right.
And it was, you know, hundreds and hundreds of dollars. And she, now she's an esthetician. She does like makeup and waxing and shit. Mm-hmm. She's not working right now because everybody's on lockdown. She has a 15-year-old and a 9-year-old at home.
Mm-hmm.
She's in California by herself with her friends. She's not bringing money in. She has two kids at home. Her one kid is staying, the 15-year-old is, the 9-year-old staying with her brother.
Did she, like, when this all, like, she left when this, after this all went down, she left?
No, she's just there right now. She's okay. Going on vacation.
Oh.
Because why not?
Fuck.
Yeah. Wow. You're not bringing any money in. You're not supposed to be seeing people. So just bounce.
Wow.
And so, you know, and she's going to ask for help. It's like, no, fuck you. You're in California. Like,
yeah. No. God, that's...
If you were making all the right decisions, then yes, we'll do everything we can for you. But you're not doing the bare minimum.
Like, right.
Yeah.
You got to make an effort.
You got two kids who... I mean, can you imagine?
It's horrible. Yeah, so the 15-year-old...
I mean, how terrifying it is for them. And, you know,
even a 15-year-old.
You're meant to be the rock.
Right.
Right.
So, luckily, like, my wife's parents...
People don't magically get better when they become a parent, though.
No. So, it's
unfortunate truth.
Interesting. I'm just so thankful that my brother got through it. But my wife and I both, you know, like true crime, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's all these stories of over-the-road truck drivers, serial killers, right? Like picking up sex workers and stuff. And I look at my brother when he visits. Does he have it?
You give him that.
Yeah,
give him
that look at his head, eye. Head
tilt. Mm-hmm.
I put my DNA up in GEDmatch just in case. If your DNA shows up somewhere, motherfucker, I'll find you out.
Well, he could be selling vintage war games. That would be a tell. The Black Widow long haul trucker.
nice. All right. Yeah, that was good.
All right.
I'm looking forward to this.
Good therapy session. Jesus. All right. So,
strength to you guys, man. Just, you know,
we've got our deal with it.
Stuff, but not like that.
I mean, everybody's got, there's no saying it's all ups and downs. So, right now, everything's under reasonable control. So, anyway,
what can we do?
Let's get this tied up with a bow. Sorry. So we can schedule a four player finale. So you're back at the garage. One thing you notice as you kind of pick yourself up off the, what's the floor like? Is it kind of a dusty wooden? It's like over top the garage, right? So it's kind of wood plank floor.
It's dusty woody ply.
You guys put a rug up there, maybe? Wouldn't you have put it? Maybe you put an old beat up rug you found on the.
Yeah, there'd be something like that on there, some sort of Indian style rug.
Yeah, so you.
I picked it up while I was looking for bike parts.
Yeah. Nice. So you're kind of this old. Kind of ratty rug, and you're picking yourself up, and you kind of look back at the TV, and you see the black void, and it kind of closes, and then it's back on the white screen with the Timex Sinclair cursor there. And then you see kind of Constance's face, and she kind of closes her eyes. She's like, Bobby, read the book, and I have to rest now. And she kind of dissolves away. And you notice, you know, there's kind of there's a small window at the end of this space over the garage. And you know, when you went out to you left in the morning to go to the Masonic Lodge, and maybe you got there around lunchtime, and you'd taken some snacks and stuff. But you look out the window, and it's dark.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right. So what you gonna do?
When she says read the book, I'm gonna, you know, Bobby forgets for a minute what she's talking about because
it's been a day.
A lot has happened since the book. Book. Chris, when Randy threw me in the lodge, I hit the bookshelf and this book fell off, and I picked it up and I'll put it on my backpack and show it. Look, it has like this, it has a badass snake on the front.
But dude, I can't
imagine it's black.
That's so Sabbath.
But it can't be good, right? Like if those douchebags are doing it.
No, this doesn't look good, and I'm a little frightened that you even picked it up and touched it. But
we gotta figure something out how to stop these guys.
So Chris walks over to the clock radio with a little flip over time indicator, pops it onto the FM dial, puts on WPLJ 95.5. They're playing some Hendrix right now.
Excuse me. Well, I guess.
And let's get to reading.
All right. Yeah, so I mean, the book, you are right to be creeped out by the book. It definitely, like, the leather is kind of like, it just feels creepy, and the picture, it, you know, as you look at it in more detail, you know, and you maybe you turn on your kind of your 60 watt incandescent that you have up there. So it's, and you know, it's dark outside, and the shadows are kind of long, and you're reading this book, and it's talking about there's like pictures of like diagrams on the floor, and there's rituals, and they talk about you see the word Leviathan a lot. And the things, and there's kind of like these, they look like kind of cooking recipes almost, except the ingredients are a little creepier, and the results are things like long life or power over people, and you feel like it's some sort of spell book.
Do any of these ingredients look familiar at all?
Some of it is like the blood of a newborn, or the blood of an innocent child, for example. And you see that one actually in a ritual that says to last for, you know, and it has a number you don't really recognize, some length of time, you know, power, the ultimate power, and it's a ritual where, like, you know, you draw a diagram with chalk, and you sacrifice the blood of an innocent child, and there's a special knife you have to be used to find all that stuff out. So you feel like, as you're reading this, that the like, you just kind of get chills all over. And I'm guessing Bobby and Chris, you guys are kind of reading this at the same time.
Yeah, shoulder to shoulder.
Yeah. And, you know, you feel like, you know, and maybe you even have a bit of sympathy for Constance, because you can just imagine, you know, how horrible this would have been to go through. You know, and it talks about having a brass brazier, you know, and there's something about the moon, and, there's some kind of notations in the book, and there's a scribble on the side of the margins with tomorrow's date in it. Anything else you want to...
Wait, tomorrow's date?
Tomorrow's date. Mm-hmm. And it's nighttime.
And mm-hmm. Chris looks over...
Well, Constance has told all above the table, right?
I know.
It's 64 years tomorrow from when she was... She and her family were killed.
Yeah, Chris looks...
8 times 8.
Oh, shit.
I'm doing some numerology shit here.
Yeah. Yep.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, there are some eights in that weird number that you saw.
Mm.
Chris goes over to the makeshift bookcase upstairs there.
Mm-hmm.
And blocks.
Cracks open mm-hmm. a paperback copy of Norman Spinrad's The Solarians.
Nice.
Goes to page 87 and pulls out a big ass doobie.
Nice.
And Chris says, I need a break. How about you?
Mm-hmm.
No time like the present.
Yeah. One, as you're kind of, and you kind of page through the rest of the book, there's a kind of section of these quote unquote recipes. And then there's kind of some general stuff which attracts your attention at the back of the book. And it's like this, it's the story. And it talks about the Leviathan, the beast under the sea. And when you saw this ritual spell for kind of, you know, bringing success for 8 times 8 years, you know, it mentions that the Leviathan shall come forth on the land and receive the worship. But then the story at the back, refers to the Leviathan. And there's one thing that you kind of pick up on, and it says, where the lance of Longinus.
Well, that may have been the Irish talking. One more time.
It says where apostrophe W A R E.
Oh, W.
The lance, A R E, as in beware.
Okay. The lance of.
The lance of Longinus.
Longinus.
And I'm just going to give this to you. Chris, you have maybe stashed in secret, and maybe, you know, it was one of your relatives that gave you this book. It was like, you know, they were like Christian, and you know, they felt bad because your family was yes, was. You know, they're heathens and all this kind of stuff. And so you got this book. It was like the most amazing stories from the Bible. And, it, you know, you were using it to prop up, you know, maybe one end of your bookshelf. And you remember reading, you know, so they tried to kind of spice up all the stories from the Bible. And you remember reading about, and maybe you go over and you pick it up and you read it. And you remember reading about, you know, the... You know, there's several references to the great beasts of the ocean, the devil's beasts. The Leviathan is one of them. And the only thing that was ever able to stop, you know, there's a few magical things in the world, and the spear of Longinus was the spear of the soldier that poked Christ's mm-hmm. side on the cross.
It's a spear of destiny, man.
Yep.
Dude, I read that in one of my crazy Nazi occult books.
Right.
Like saying
right.
like how those guys were like into like worshiping Wotan and
all that Thul bullshit.
Yep. And because I'm a giving GM, I'm gonna give you the last bit. And yeah, and now you've got the munchies.
Oh.
But clouds. You remember the Ocean City Red Raiders, You, there was like for a while, like, you know, when you were young, they used to be the Whalers, and there used to be a guy out in front of the high school, and he had this big harpoon, but it was a weird looking harpoon. But in 1920, they changed to the Red Raiders, and that statue is probably stashed somewhere in the basement of the Ocean City, New Jersey High School. But you always remember thinking, man, that is the weirdest looking harpoon.
You mean so, the old Gorton's fisherman?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, mascot?
That couldn't. That.
What?
Can't. No.
No.
But what if it.
Dude, we just came out of a TV. We need to go check that out.
And it's probably, you know, you've turned on the radio and you hear the time. You know, it's probably like 10:30 at night. And then here. Hello? Anybody there?
Shit, it's Randall.
It's a very, it's a much younger sounding voice.
Dude, throw that doom in the Dr. Pepper can.
Oh, wait, we're too cheap for
Dr.
Hand.
Pepper. It's Dr. Pibb. Throw the Dr. Pibb, man. Okay. Yeah. I just turned off the radio.
Turn off the radio. Yeah, I'll do it.
Hello? Hello?
And you open the door, and you see kind of a nerdy kid with glasses and some really good-looking teenage chick, and you recognize Zach and Lisa and fade to black.
Nicely done. Nicely
nice.
Done.
Nice.
Great I'm, session. Very I'm, nice. I got, session. I got three balls in the air.
And they're on fire.
And they're on fire. And one is filled with turd.
Yeah. Well done, Duckulees.
That was so good.
That was so good.
We're gonna have to postmortem this or after action this shit.
Oh yeah, man, all for that.
It's been a trip. I like it though.
It's coming together.
Yeah, it's coming.
You're giving. You're giving with the clues.
I think I have to, right?
Yeah.
I don't think
we'd get there.
Yeah. But part of it.
Yeah.
This is my evolution as a GM, right? I have these ideas. I want you guys to discover them, but I know some of them are kind of undiscoverable. So I'm going to give you flashes of insight to try and pick them up.
Yeah, there's meta that these characters are going to have that we don't. I mean, obviously,
right.
They know the high school. They know something of the high school's history. We haven't explored that, developed that, but they would know it.
Right.
We don't.
All the town lore.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And, you know, I the one thing to round table this a little bit is like, you know, do you feel like you have enough agency in the world?
Yeah, we've been able to do whatever we want.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I try and roll with it, but I have these things happening and, you know, I make you realize things, but you can do whatever you want.
Right.
And now I have to figure out how I get Zach and Lisa there. I think what I'll do actually is our next session will be four players and I'll just have an in-between session. Fast forward for them. Because I was thinking about like, well, because, you know, you can get to this point where like, okay, then they have like a little bit of action, but then you're all ready to get together. And then I said, nah, fuck it. They're just going to show up.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, it's coming up on the denouement.
Yeah. And system, the way that we play, regardless of system, there are things that we do as players and GMs that surprise each other. So if you're trying to keep things in narrative parallel, it's not going to happen because people are just going to do interesting shit that you're going to want to pick it up and run with it. And it's going to throw the timing off. So at some point you have to just go, okay, here we are moving forward.
Yeah. And if you go back and listen to Backdoor and Matt session, like I kind of had the Tron thing. It was kind of like a whim. And then I did it for them and I'm doing it for them. And I'm like, man, Jason's going to be pissed if I don't let him do
it. You didn't get us drawn, you fucker.
So I'm like, ah, but you guys haven't heard it. So I'm going to give it to both of you. So.
That's right.
Yeah. And it makes sense. Really. It totally makes sense that it would happen for both of us.
Yeah, it's the same. It's the same.
We have to run the same gauntlet. It's good. Mm-hmm.
And it did feel like there were consequences, right? Like the whole time. Anything could have gone poorly, and
right, and I was ready to deal out those consequences. I mean, we probably never would have gotten to the point where you didn't make it out, but you know, maybe, you know, yeah, there would have been consequences, but you know, you ended up rolling well at the end, and and I didn't know whether you guys were going to make it away from Randall or not.
So on that map, just giving a little nod to Will Wheaton. Things we saw were Zork, we saw Zelda, we saw Temple of Elemental Evil.
Mm-hmm.
I think we saw Bard's Tale or something like it.
I don't know where that one's from. Yeah, some wilderness. 3D RPG.
There's something Bard's Tale about that one.
Graveyard is from Ultima.
Yeah, that had a definite Ultima Lord British kind of 2D feel to it.
And then the arena has the bikes from Tron Legacy.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
Of course.
I mean, I like Tron, but Tron really is a bad movie. It is. Whoa. It is really bad. Whoa. I mean, it's amazing the ideas it has, but I tried to watch it. I was like, again, and I was like, oh.
I watch it about twice a year.
Really?
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah. Nice. I like bad movies, though. I like Hackers.
Yeah.
It's so bad. Yeah,
yeah. Okay, so
I mean, the ideas that Tron contains are amazing. But just it's just a bad movie, like just as movies go. Well, but Tron Legacy, I think, is actually a decent movie.
That was not a bad movie, and I saw
Tron Legacy is it's almost, but maybe Jason thinks it's too slick. I don't know.
I don't like it. Yeah.
Really?
I only saw it once. I need to watch it again.
Olivia, what's her face? Oh my gosh!
Yeah,
oh.
It got done, and I was like, yeah, it could have been worse.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's very polished.
Yeah, I like polish.
Yeah, anyway.
It takes all kinds.
Exactly.
All right, boys. Well,
hey,
thank
I
you
hope
for indulging
that
me.
I'm hoping that in sometime in the near future, the Doctor and Juan Fifth are ready to roll again.
Oh fuck yeah!
Oh yeah! Oh yeah!
Heavy duty inspiration struck last night, and I'm Ooh. Tempted to say what the prompt was, but that would ruin it. But there's
okay. Oh, I'm so excited
that I stumbled across that I'm like, oh, it's time for this. Yeah,
that's my
yeah, exactly.
Accelerator powering up. Oh yeah, I miss.
Yeah, we could do that whenever.
All right. So just put that in the back of your, put that in the back of your minds. We're gonna, you know, I got a little Greyhawk to run through, but something stirred dusty corners of my mind and empty chambers of my heart. Oh, it's time for these two guys to ride again. It's perfect for them. So all right, good,
absolutely.
Good.
So I have something in the meantime. If you're not quite ready. Just to kind of keep the Jersey 83
so much Jersey
for the four of us.
Stuff.
Yeah, and then we'll get back to Monster of the Week.
All right. Well, the next thing that has to happen is we have to get four of you in session.
No, that's what I'm saying. I'm saying after this Kids on Bikes thread.
Mondays are really good. COVID Mondays are awesome.
I will shoot. Yeah. I will shoot for one of those. I'll do a doodle probably tomorrow. So
cool.
Backdoor is really good. I may have to get you to we'll have to ping Matt Allen a few times. But
yeah.
But we'll get him.
Looking forward to it.
Yeah, it'll be good. It'll be good. It's been great so far. So
it has, dude. Great job, Duck.
All right. Well, no, great job by you guys, too. Makes me feel good. So, all right, boys. You have a good night.
You too.
Buenas noches.